Chase, Willie D. Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry, Caroline Fenton, and for Chase McCabe today, we will have Ask D. Mace in 30 minutes. So make sure to get those questions in for D. Mace. And remember that the best question for D. Mace will win a very special prize. And we'll give that away in just about 30 minutes. So get those questions in for D. Mace. But first, I want to get to this, because Mike Vrabel just took the podium, breaking down the Titans' loss to the Cowboys, and there was one thing in particular that he said that I think kind of struck a chord with me, and this is something, D-Mace, you and I kind of had already touched on, but this was Mike Vrabel at the podium.
Frustrated were you, I guess, with the drops and what has to happen there other than guys just simply catching the ball?
Guys simply just have to catch the ball. I mean, I don't know, we had 19 jugs machines, and everybody catches them on the jugs, or just... You know, when you go out there, you only get one opportunity sometimes, and you have to hit it. And it's the same with situations on defense. You know, when a play's needed to be made, to win, you have to make them.
So it kind of sounds like they are out at, you know, Indy 500.
Like the NASCAR.
They're
are they at the fairgrounds or something?
Yeah, seriously. But I think the point there is Mike Vrabel sounds really fed up with the receivers. He says, you know, guys just need to simply catch the ball. Anyways, this was something that you and I talked about, that, you know, Robert Woods on a crucial third down, he drops the ball, the Cowboys get the ball back, and they're able to extend their lead 10-0 from that possession. Treylon Burks on another crucial third down, ball just goes right through his hands. It sounds like, to me, Mike Vrabel is incredibly fed up with this wide receiver core and really this pass-catching core as a whole. Austin Hooper had two drops on third down yesterday. I mean, I know that I'm frustrated with this receiver core. Sounds like Mike Vrabel is as well.
Absolutely, he is, and rightfully so. Yeah, they made some plays out there, but they also left some plays on the field. You know, whether it be Robert Woods, who has dropped his share of footballs this season.
Too many, to
be exact. Whether it's Austin Hooper last night, and he has come on within the last 5 weeks as a, you know, one of the sure-handed pass catchers that they have over the course of the last 5 weeks, and he dropped passes. Then you had Treylon Burks, who has made some big plays, but you know he dropped a pass on third down, pass that was. It was not a difficult catch, considering you are a first-round draft pick. You've made tougher catches. So that, to me, was a catch that is a routine catch that you need to make as the number one receiver on this team. So he's right. Those drops are drops that you can't have. Those drops are inexcusable. You know, so you got to go out there and help out your quarterback. You know, he just got here. He's doing his part. You got to do your part. You got to extend drives. What kills drives? Penalties and not converting on turnovers. Obviously, I mean, not converting on third down, but obviously turnovers isn't in there. But what truly kills drives is, you know, penalties, pre-snap penalties, and then you dropping the football when you have an opportunity to catch it on third down. You must make those catches.
Derek, they're not really drawing a lot of pass interference. I'd like to take a look compared to other teams. I think that's another aspect I hope down the road Burks, with his body, can start doing. I think that was a borderline call that he didn't get last night, and by the standard that the Titans' defensive backs were held to, maybe he should have gotten that call. But I will give you the silver lining. At least I saw Robert Woods getting open. I haven't seen Robert Woods get open in weeks. He actually, I thought, was on the same page with Dobbs. I thought that was something that might be a positive going into next week. And Burks was as active in the game plan as I've seen him. So they've got maybe something to build off of there. I want to ask you something specific about Burks. I brought it up to you guys last night in the text. But, Derek, as you look at the mechanics of Burks, he's big, he's long. It seems to me, though, he's a little bit – there's some guys where no matter where that ball is thrown, they seem to be able to get it in stride. It looks natural when they go get it. That one that he dropped, he looked a little bit uncoordinated and unnatural, and I've seen that a few times depending on where the throw is. Can he get better on that, or is that something to watch for him down the road?
No, I think you can get better. I think it just comes with repetition. You know, he didn't have to. I don't think he necessarily had to jump for that ball, but I think it came. It got on him a little bit quicker than what he thought coming out of that break, and then it being, you know, that's a difficult catch, but it's a catch he should make if he's on the right side of the field. It all depends on two. You know, just giving you a little bit of insight of a receiver. It all depends on two. What's your dominant side as a receiver? My dominant side is I'm lined up on the right side of the field, because anything I'm running, breaking in, breaking out, my dominant hand is on top when I'm catching the ball, which is my left hand. Even though I'm right-handed, I feel more comfortable catching the ball, like coming at me with my left hand on top. Well, Treylon Burks, it might be a little bit different. You know, it might be his dominant hand, might be his right hand. So, and when you get in a situation like that, you get that fast in-breaking route. It got on him a little bit quick. He didn't know how to quite adjust his hands to the ball. So it was just, he threw him up. It hit his forearm, whereas he should have caught it in his hands. It would have been an easier catch had he caught it with his hands. But he got up on him so fast. But again, I think that's one he needs to catch as a receiver. As the number one guy, you made harder catches. I've seen him make harder catches than that. So he must make that catch to extend drives.
And I'm glad that you brought that up, Willie, because that's something that I've noticed all season long with Treylon Burks, is he jumps up for balls that he doesn't need to jump up for. And I don't have I don't know exactly what game it was or what down and distance it was, but I've noticed it throughout the season that he'll jump up for balls, and he jumps up too much, and then he misses it. Mm-hmm. And those are balls that if he just stays there, keeps his feet planted, keeps his hands out, he'll be able to catch. But I don't know if that's it's a rookie thing, and you get excited, overly excited, that you jump up for it when you might not really have to, or if that's something that he was taught that he'll have to unlearn. But to your point Willie, about sometimes he just doesn't have his body completely placed in the right spot. And I've noticed that he'll jump up for balls. He did it last night. One of the balls that he dropped on third down, he jumped up for it and missed it. And he didn't really need to do that. So is that something that you can unlearn?
Yeah. It looks a little unnatural.
Yes.
To me. There are certain guys where it just looks so natural, they are able to adjust and just find ways to make it look so smooth. It's like his upper body's not quite coordinated with his lower body. He's fighting the ball a little bit as it comes in. If he can get a little bit better at that, I think that will make a difference with some of these catches. But I like the fact that he's getting open, and then he runs aggressively. That end around he made, I just love how he attacks the field. You can see what they saw in him in a first round pick. I just would have loved to see him play, 14 or 15 games to this point and not have all of this missed time. But nothing you can do about that now. And the good thing is he looks like he's healthy and he'll be reasonably confident going into next week.
Well, he's showed you in the time that he has played when he hasn't been injured, he's shown you, or at least he's shown me, that he's the number one receiver. Now, he's going to have to get a little bit better at certain, some of the nuances of being a receiver, and that comes with experience. But he's shown me enough that I believe that if he stays healthy, he's a number one receiver. That catch and run he made on the sideline right before the half that put the Tennessee Titans in a position to kick a field goal, that was all Treylon Burks. I mean, Dobbs delivered the ball.
His little twinkle toes.
Yeah, that was all Treylon Burks. And that's just a glimpse, I believe, of who he can be and what he can do once they get the right pieces in place. That meaning the offensive coordinator, some other players. Ryan Tannehill gets back healthy and fully ready to go. That offensive line, if they can get the pieces put together, this can be a special kid.
And I think, too, with Treylon Burks, we can nitpick a lot of the decisions that he's made, because there have been balls, not just last night, but all season long, that I'm like, look, dude, you got to catch those. But to Mike Vrabel's point about, you need to come down with those balls, I do wonder how much of that is geared toward, the entire pass-catching group as a whole, which I do think there's a good bit of truth to that. But I think the most obvious one is Robert Woods.
Yeah.
And what they decide to do with Robert Woods moving forward. Like I said earlier, he is on the hook for almost $14 million next year. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like Mike Vrabel's not thrilled with the pass catching group.
Well, if you bring him back.
Especially for that much money.
Yeah, you can't bring him back for.
You can't bring him
not
back.
Even a, you can't even bring him back for half of that. It has to be in the range of, hey, listen, we're going to sign you to a 2-year deal worth about $8 million, $7, $8 million. Mm-hmm. And you're our number three. Because we have to go out and get a number two. Yes. That's just, it's plain and simple. You're not our number two, but you can be a damn good number three for us in this offense. But we need to get somebody to truly compliment Traylon Burks.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. It is your day. It's a Titans Reaction Friday, so we'll get right back into your phones. Your calls, your texts, 615-737-1025. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace presented by Hair Club. Hair Club, love your hair, live your life, creating custom hair loss solutions for men and women. 1025-1063, the game. And also, Willie wants to tell you about Loan Pronto.
All right, let's do that. Before I say goodbye to you guys today, until the new year, and looking forward to what's to come with Caroline joining us full time. So looking forward to that, Caroline, and let's root the Predators on these next couple of days. I'm out here in Anaheim. I'll be heading over to the rink here soon. But let me tell you about what Loan Pronto has in mind for you to kick off 2023. And how about not having any credit card debt? If you've had it building up a little bit, and you want to get that down to zero, you can do it with Loan Pronto's Express Equity line of credit. Wipe out the credit cards right now. Rates are down. This is a great move to get on more solid financial footing for the new year. You don't have to do all the full home refi. You can tap a portion of the equity you have and enjoy a rate that's a whole lot less than what the banks charge on credit cards. So get that credit card down to zero and get moving with the Express Equity credit line from Loan Pronto. You can access up to 95% of your home's equity, and most people don't even have to do the appraisal. Keep that main loan intact and get the cash you need. Call Loan Pronto now at 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780, or go to loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781, subject to lender approval.
Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, the game. And hey, play Silly Underdog Picks today. Pick three football underdog teams that you think will win this week for a chance to win great prizes. Play now at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports. Voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Again, the Titans falling to the Cowboys on Thursday Night Football 27-13. And hey, I'm taking it as a moral victory, whether you believe in those or not. I thought the Titans were going to get blown out 75-3, and I will take 27-13. But Mike Vrabel just took the podium post-game press conference, and there was one thing that really stood out to me, if we have that ready, Nick. And Teresa Walker asked him a question about like getting guys ready, getting guys healthy. And I think that Week 17, at least in the Titans' eyes, I viewed it as, let's look at Week 17 and prepare for Week 18. Let's keep Jeffrey Simmons out of the game. Let's keep Derrick Henry out of the game. Two guys that are probably a little bit banged up, but rest them, let them get another week of rest, and then head into Week 18. And not just those two guys, but you know the rest of the roster that is just completely battered. But here was Mike Vrabel and Teresa Walker's question.
How much did the approach maybe of this week and having now a weekend to rest help get this team a little bit healthier for this final game?
Well, I mean, it should. You know, it should. And, again, I have a lot of appreciation for the way that everybody handled last week. I know it was different and unique, but it was the situation. And, again, we can't avoid distractions. The only thing we can do is how we handle them. I thought everybody was prepared. I thought they played hard. Not without mistake. I thought we beat ourselves too many times to win the football game. But, you know, I thought guys were ready to go. I thought they, you know, executed at times. You know, looked like exactly like we needed to do to win. Just unfortunate that it wasn't consistent enough and we made too many mistakes.
There you go. And that was Mike Vrabel at the podium just now. And then Mike Vrabel goes on to say, even though he mentions, hey, you know, guys were prepared, they went out and fought, which I don't disagree with. I thought that they went out there last night and they played a good game. They played a tough game. They made too many mistakes, had over 100 yards of penalties. That needs to be cleaned up. They dropped some balls that absolutely needed to be caught. Mm-hmm. That needs to be cleaned up. But I think overall, the effort and the toughness and the fight, that was there last night. But Mike Vrabel went on to say, you know, we can't just show up. Mm-hmm. Can't just be there on game day, and we can't just show up. You need to be prepared. You need to be doing things behind the scenes that that help this football team. So my question to that was, who's just showing up?
Yeah, you wonder, or is he just saying that just in case guys are thinking about being a minute late or whatnot, or thinking about not lifting weights the day they're supposed to lift, or making an excuse on why not to show up for that second round of treatments. Mm-hmm. So he's trying to be proactive. One thing that did strike me when he was talking, he mentioned distractions. He said we can't avoid distractions. We just got to learn how to handle them. I think that's a shot at what's been going on. I truly think it. It's like, listen, these distractions are coming, or they are here. We can't avoid it. They're here. It wasn't mm-hmm. because of our doing, like the players doing. It happened, you know, but now we have to learn how to work through those distractions. So,
and what distractions exactly? Because would you consider injuries distractions?
Nah, injuries are not really distractions. Injuries are a part of football.
They're a part of football.
They're going to happen.
Aren't exclusive to the Titans. Unfortunately, exactly. It's been plaguing the Titans a little bit more than it has other teams in the mm-hmm. league. But I understand that the idea of injuries and having to overcome the loss of your starting running back, of your starting quarterback, mm-hmm. of some of your top pass rushers, and just across the board. But what distractions exactly?
Well, the only distractions I know Willie of is,
firing the general manager
and the offensive coordinator, getting in the situation that he was in. Those are the only distractions that I know of, unless there's things that are happening, you know, within the locker room, which there probably is. I'm not saying good nor bad, but there are probably things that are happening inside the locker room that we don't know about. I can sit here and tell you truthfully, there were things that happened in the locker rooms that I was a part of that never saw the day of light, you know, that may have been a distraction, may have not. And we worked our way through that. And I think that's what Vrabel is talking about. Whatever distractions that are going on, we can't avoid them, you know, but we got to learn how to work through them. So I don't think it had anything to do with, at least I don't think it does, or hope. In regards to the injuries, the injuries are going to happen.
The injuries happen.
Yeah, injuries are a part of football. So you already in your mind know that at least two or three people are going to get hurt during the season mm-hmm. on this team. And it might be the two or three guys that we need. So we got to learn how to work through that. But as far as that being a distraction, I don't know if that's truly a distraction or not. So, have guys been walking in late? Have guys
Jeffrey
been
Simmons said so.
Pushing, you know, have guys been getting the treatment at the times they're supposed to get them? Have guys been in the weight room at the times that they're supposed to get them? Because say if your weight room time was at, just say 9 o'clock. Well, you didn't show up at 9. You put it off till after practice. Mm-hmm. Well, do you usually do that? Do you usually put it off until practice? Because if you don't, why are you doing it now? You know,
right.
Don't nothing change. Mm-hmm. If you're meant to be there at 9, be there at 9. Or if you're meant to have treatment at 8 o'clock, don't tell me, well, I can do it in between meetings, or I can do it later on. I'm going to get my treatment before I go out of practice. No. Have you been doing it at 8 o'clock in the morning, or 7 o'clock in the morning, 6 throughout the season? Yeah. Don't change it now. You know, so do those things that you are accustomed to doing. Don't change because of the situation we're in.
I love that too, that Jeffrey Simmons post-game press conference, or just, you know, standing in the mm-hmm. locker room, he said, you know, guys can't show up late.
Mm-hmm.
Well, are guys showing up late?
Exactly.
That doesn't seem like something that you would say
yeah.
if guys weren't actually showing up late. And Mike Vrabel mentioning distractions, you know, maybe it was coach speak. Maybe it was, you know, we can't, got to eliminate distractions, got to go out there and execute. Mm-hmm. But if there weren't distractions that Mike Vrabel didn't think we're actually hurting this football team, then why would he bring that up? When Teresa Walker asks him about momentum going into week 18 and getting guys rested and the injuries, why talk about distractions? Why talk about, you know, we can't just show up and just show up on the field, and we can't just play poorly. We've got to go out there. We've got to be prepared. We've got to do our jobs, and we've got to do our jobs well. If guys aren't doing that already, then why would he feel the need to say that? I go back to last week when Mike Vrabel said, this isn't an 8-to-5 job. Mm-hmm. Were there guys that were treating it like an 8-to-5 job? Why say that when there aren't guys that are, you know, working overtime and doing what they need to do and showing up on time? So a lot of things over the last few weeks from Vrabel, from Byard, from Jeffrey Simmons, that there are guys that are, one, distracted, and two, not doing their jobs.
Yeah, because you're not going to say, if you are a good third down team, if you went, you know, say 5 for 5 on third downs, your pass game, you're not going to then get up to the podium and say, well, we got to convert on third down. Well, last I checked, coach, y'all were 5 for 5 on third down. Where did that come from? You know, so coaches don't do that. Typically, something happens that makes them say the things that they're saying. Vrabel could just be throwing that out there to make sure guys don't do that. But he hasn't. I don't think he's done that before. So why do it now? But I mean, whatever distractions they may have, or if guys are not coming in early like they're supposed to, whatever is going on, they need to get it straightened out. It needs not filter throughout the building. Whoever those guys are, they need to be checked and put back, you know, and on the right path, because this last game, they're going to need their undivided attention. They're going to need their ultimate focus to win this game, because, listen, without Ryan Tannehill at quarterback, it's going to be difficult. I know Josh played really good last night, but without your starting quarterback, it's going to be difficult. So we need all hands on deck. We need all minds on deck, meaning everybody needs to be centered in on this one task. We don't need to be worrying about everything else.
Which is why I think it would have been wise for Mike Vrabel to just come out and say that Josh Dobbs is going to be the starter on Sunday. Because I hear you. It is hard whenever Ryan Tannehill isn't, when your starting quarterback is out. But doesn't it help when you know who your starting quarterback will be? Whenever everyone is focused and saying, okay, Josh is our guy. Josh is starting on Sunday.
Oh, they know who their starting quarterback is. The team knows it.
Then why not say it?
He's just not going
to
say it.
Why? I mean,
he will tell us.
The message to the team is, hey, we got a really tough decision to make. We're going to make our decision in practice this week. I mean, why not just come out and say, Josh Dobbs is our starting quarterback. We're going to move forward with Josh Dobbs. He's our quarterback. We're going to miss Ryan. You know, we're going to eliminate distractions. So if you want to eliminate distractions, just go ahead and name your starting quarterback.
Well, Malik Willis knows that, judging by last night, what he's seen as a player on this team, and if he's being honest with himself, which he has no reason not to be, he understands that at this juncture of his career, in this juncture of the season, Joshua Dobbs gives them the best opportunity to win.
Does he know that?
I think he does.
Because your head coach is saying he's not saying that.
Yeah, the head coach is just, that's just from a strategic standpoint. Everybody in that building knows who the starting quarterback is. The players know that Joshua Dobbs, unless something happens in practice where he can't play because of injury, everybody in that locker room knows that Joshua Dobbs is quarterback. If you do not start Joshua Dobbs come Wednesday, well, if they play on Saturday, then they go in on Tuesday. Monday would be their day off. Well, yeah, I'm going to forget today is Friday. I'm thinking today is Sunday.
Whenever they play.
Whenever they do go back to practice.
Yeah.
Depending on when they play, those guys know that Joshua Dobbs will take the first team reps. Everybody in that building knows it. Those players know it. And if it doesn't happen, those veterans are now looking at you like, what in the hell are you
doing? Why are you hurting this
exactly
football team?
What? So he can tell us what he want to tell us, and I know why he's telling us this, because what he says in that microphone get filtered all the way down to Jacksonville.
But why would it matter?
Because it's just a cat and mouse game. He wants them to prepare for both Malik Willis and Joshua Dobbs. I mean, if Jacksonville was in the same situation, they would do it to us. They would say, well, we don't know who our quarterback is. We're still working on it. Yes, he played a good game, but we're still evaluating it.
But I'll tell you this. I mean, okay, but Bucks-Panthers playing this weekend for the NFC South, for the division. Let's say the Panthers are still in a quarterback carousel. They still, let's say Baker Mayfield's still on that roster. So it could be Sam Darnold. It could be P.J. Walker. It could be Baker Mayfield. Do you think that the Panthers have an advantage over Tom Brady and the Buccaneers just because you don't know who's starting on Sunday?
It's not necessarily Tom Brady that they want the advantage over. It's that defensive side of the ball. If I got to make you prepare an extra 30 minutes, then that's time you're taking away from other things, you know? So I'm going to make you prepare an extra 30 minutes for this quarterback that is not going to play, but I'm not going to tell you he's not going to play. So go ahead and prepare for every little thing that you've seen, you know, because that takes away from you preparing strictly and solely for Joshua Dobbs. So I don't know who my quarterback going to be. It's going to be a hard decision, man. I'm not going to get no sleep tonight, man. I told the wife I'm sitting, I'm going to sleep on the couch because this decision is too hard.
He's going to sit and stew on a quarterback who threw for almost 250 yards, which Malik Willis.
He knows who the quarterback's going to be.
Just say it, Mike. We all know it. Don't create distractions. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Ask D. Mace coming up next. The best question for D. Mace will win two tickets to Nick Cannon at the National Municipal Auditorium on Sunday, March 19th. Get those questions in, your calls, your texts. Ask D. Mace, Chase Willie, and D. Mace, 1025-1063, The Game.
G-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
And there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Chase, Willie, and
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Ask D-Mace. Get your questions in for Derek Mason. Calls, texts. Football, life, anything that you want to ask, get those in. Remember that the best question for D-Mace will win a pair of tickets to see Nick Cannon at the National Municipal Auditorium on Sunday, March 19th. Let's get into it. John is up next with a question for D-Mace. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. D-Mace, I got a question. You were a receiver, really good receiver in the league for a long time. What is it about having a receiver and I kind of use Traylon Burks here as an example about, you know, how important is it for a receiver just to have that dog in him, you know? You know, there was a lot of talk in the summer about, you know, Traylon Burks, you know, having problems with asthma or whatever, or not being, you know, not being in camp in, like, you know, tip-top physical shape. But just how important is it for a receiver to have that dog in him to just be successful?
Thank you, John. I speak on this a lot, and, you know, it's D-A-W-G, not D-O-G. It's a mentality. It's a way of going about your job. It's a belief that I am the best player on this field. It's a belief that I'm not going to back down from any and everything. I will not. I will keep coming and coming and coming. And when you think that it stopped, I'm going to come right back at you again. It's the willingness to fight through things, whether it be injury, you're hurt, the circumstance in a game. It's not backing down. It's getting bigger than what you actually are. That's being a dog. I've seen guys that I wish had a dog in them, and they don't. You can't teach it. It has to be something that's in that basically, it has to be a part of your DNA. You know, for me, it was growing up with, you know, three older brothers and, you know, playing the sport in the street of Detroit, like literally playing in the streets, playing with plastic 2-liter Coke bottles when we didn't have footballs, playing with, you know, our sister's teddy bear, taping it up with electrical tape to make it a little bit heavier, going out there and never quitting. You know, that's what developed that dog in me. Like my brothers would tell me, you're not leaving until you score. you're not leaving until you do this. I didn't like it back then, but it made me the player who I am now. You can't learn that as an adult. That's something that you just can't learn. That has to be ingrained in you when you're younger in the sport. And I can Treylon has it. I thought AJ had it. I thought Corey had it. He just needed to be more assertive. And I think Treylon has it now. And you see it on occasions. So I just want to see it more.
And I think it's one of those things, too. You either have it or you don't.
Exactly.
You're not going to be, you know, well, sometimes you see this receiver be incredibly physical, and we're going to see him go up for contested catches and understand and know in his mind, I'm going to come down with this football. It's not an on and off thing. Mm-hmm. You just have it or you don't.
Yeah, it's just it's part of your DNA. It's part of who you are. It's like, no matter what, I'm going to compete. That's one thing that's going to happen no matter what. We may be losing 100-0, but I'm still competing. And if I do something great, I'm gonna let you know I'm doing something great. You know, just because it's 100-0 doesn't mean I'm stopping.
Ron texts in with a question for D-Maze. Has Beyer been playing off script and freely lately in the past few games? He seems to always be in the right place at the right time. Certainly was last night.
Yeah, I just think he studies extremely well. He studies extremely hard. I've played with you know, defensive players, in particular defensive backs, that study the game like a coach studies the game like a defensive coordinator, whether it was Blaine Bishop, Mark Robb, whether it was Ed Reed. He's in that mode of players in the sense of he knows the game backwards and forwards, but it's not like he's stopping. He's continuing to get in a playbook. No matter how much he knows, he wants to know more. He wants to be, it's sort of like the Peyton Manning of the defense, whereas Peyton Manning dissected everything before the ball was snapped. He knew exactly what you were going to do. That's why he was so successful. He was always one step ahead of you. Mm-hmm. Sometimes too. Kevin Beyer plays that way. He's a lot of times, more times than not, he's one step ahead of what you're doing. That's why he's in a position a lot. It's not like he's freelancing. He studies enough to put himself in a position to know your tendencies.
Coming up next, right back into your phones, your questions for D-Maze. Ask D-Maze is brought to you by Curation CBD. Find their healing products at curationcompany.com. Curation CBD products curated for life. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
G-Maze. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Chase, Willie, and
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Ask D-Mace is brought to you by Curation CBD. Find their healing products at curationcompany.com. Curation CBD products curated for life. Let's get back into your questions for D-Mace. Remember, the best question for D-Mace wins a pair of tickets to see Nick Cannon at the Nashville Municipal Auditorium on Sunday, March 19th. So, another question for D-Mace. One texture says, I know players train themselves to tune out the noise, but as a Titans player, what do you think that they thought about the Let's Go Cowboys chants in the stadium last night?
I don't think, the team thought anything about it. I mean, when you're in it, you're playing and you're in it. It's crazy, but you don't a lot of stuff you just don't hear when you're so dialed in and tuned in to what you're doing. A lot of stuff you just don't hear. Crowd chanting and stuff like that. All of it just becomes just noise. It's almost like white noise. Like, yeah, they're saying something, but there's so many people are saying the same thing that it sort of just blends in. It
just sounds hear like
exactly.
Roars.
That's all you hear. You don't hear a distinct "Let's Go Cowboys" or whatever else fans choose to chant, especially when you're in the midst of a play. You're not paying attention to that. So, I mean, there may have been a point on the sideline when you're sitting around. you may have heard it, but I mean, this, these guys have heard worse. You know,
they probably say worse to each other.
Absolutely.
On the field.
So the Cowboy chant, didn't mean anything. I don't think. I wasn't at the game, so I don't know the ratio of Cowboy fans to Titans fans. But on television, it didn't seem like it was a packed house.
Let's go to Jerry with a question for D-Mace. What's up, Jerry?
Hello, D-Mace.
Hey, what's going on?
My question is, who was your favorite teacher or principal that shaped you into the diamond that you turned into?
Oh, man. Teacher, principal. Wow, that's a good one. I've had a lot of people that were in my younger years instrumental in the things that I've, you know, did through college and the adult. But, you know, for me, it was just my family. You know, when you have older brothers, you have a lot of siblings, y'all tend to sort of, you know, feed off one another, and, you know, you learn from, you know, your big brother's mistakes when he gets in trouble, and then you learn, well, I don't need to do that, or if I do it, I better do it a different way. And then my parents, you know, my dad was a military guy, and so he was black and white with him. It's either you do it this way or you get in trouble. It wasn't no middle grounds, at least not when I was coming up. Now, he got a little bit more lax with the younger siblings as they got a little older. But
perks of being the youngest.
Absolutely. But, you know, Coach Lynch, I would say, in high school, because he was the guy that he sort of grabbed me, not physically, but grabbed me by my collar and said, you're coming out and playing football. And this was, 11th grade year? Because before then, I didn't want to play. I played enough. I felt I played enough with my brothers. I didn't want to get hit. I thought I was a basketball player and run track. But he saw something in me that my brother saw. And, you know, it was almost like he pushed me out on the football field, and the rest is history. So a lot of it, yeah, Coach Lynch, you know, Skip Pete, Charlie Baggett, you know, there's been a bunch of coaches, whether it be on the football field or teachers, that have, you know, helped me sort of align my goals up with, you know, things that are tangible. And that's why I'm in the situation that I'm in now in regards to the things that I'm able to do or the things that I have done in my career.
Jabari texts in with a question for D-Mace. Is drawing a PI an art, or based on team scheme, passing teams, quarterbacks, get benefit of the doubt? Fitting theme, considering there
was
a good
bit I think it's both. I think it's an art because, you know, sometimes, and I know people look at the Treylon Burks pass interference. It was pass interference.
It was.
But you don't know what angle the ref or judge is in. Typically, people, they say, well, the ref was right there. Well, that ref might not be responsible for that player, those two players, or that side of the field. There's refs and umpires. They are designated to cover certain people, or the offensive line, or the quarterback, that one guy is. So
I do think, and somebody please correct me if I'm wrong, I do believe it was the same ref that called that 51-yard PI that didn't call the Treylon Burks PI.
But if you look at the play, it was a good play by the defensive back from this standpoint. I don't think the ref saw it. I think he saw initially both of them fighting and jockeying for position, but I don't think he saw at the end, like toward the final part, where he sort of put his arm in there and pulled it down a little bit. I think what he saw was they were jockeying for position, fighting each other.
Which is fair.
And then, you know, he just didn't catch the ball. That's what I think the ref saw. I don't think he saw the arm being pulled down because of the angle he was at. It was a pass interference, but sometimes the refs just don't see it. Mm-hmm. You know, so I don't know. It is an art, because you got to know how to throw your hands up and be a little bit more dramatic. We always talk about soccer players and how dramatic they are.
Flopping.
Yeah, well, sometimes in situations like that, watch the great receivers. Watch Stephon Diggs and those guys. They get touched a little bit and they can't catch the ball. They throw their hands in the air and fall down. You know, either you're going to call it or you're not.
Sell it.
Exactly. You got to sell it. You got to sell it.
And the same thing I saw from Roger McCreary last night when he was called up for that first PI. Mm-hmm. He, like, threw his hands up before they even called PI. I was like, Roger, don't. Yeah,
you knew you did something.
Don't act guilty.
But don't let everybody in the stands know you did something. Just walk away like nothing happened.
Like, it wasn't me. last one for you, D-Mace. Andrew from Dover has a question for you. He says, do you think Chig will be an elite tight end or has the ability to be?
I think he has the ability to be. He has the potential to be one. But, you know, potential is a scary word because potential can get you fired as a head coach or a position coach because you're holding on a little bit too long to a player that you should have released because of you think he's going to finally get it because of his potential. But I don't think that's the case with Chig Okonkwo. I think Chig has proven that he can be a playmaker in this league. He's one of the most demonstrative running tight ends in the National Football League. When this guy gets his hands on the ball, he's looking to score and score at will. Like, I'm looking to run people over and run through people just to get to the end zone. So I think Chig, if he stays healthy, again, it all depends on person. It all depends on coaching. Mm-hmm. If they choose to stick with Downey, some things has to change. But they're going to have to get a coordinator, or Downey's going to have to do something to involve Chig Okonkwo and his skill set. Because at this point, they haven't used his skill set enough. This kid can be a dynamic player if they just use him the right way.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. That was Ask D. Mace. Now, coming up next, we'll chat with Eddie George, TSU head coach, Titans great. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans game last night, what they have moving forward into that important Week 18 game against the Jags. All that coming up next. Chase Willie, D-Mace 102.5, 106.3, The Game.